Yeah, that's all you do.
When you play in a metal band,
yeah,
and you it's two guitar players,
yeah,
you have to describe what you're trying to do sometimes. Mm. Because you're not necessarily going to know what they're trying to do,
right?
Or understand like the vibe,
yeah.
Or you're not going to have maybe the technical ability to play it, right? So that's a sweep.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a sweep. Some people can't sweep. I can sweep on guitar, but like barely. It's hard. It's hard. But like that's after like practicing it.
Do you
like,
play any instruments?
I play every instrument.
Really?
I literally play every instrument. I play guitar, I play drums, I sing, I fucking play piano, I play, I've played wind instruments and brass. I play every instrument. I play bass. I play guitar in bands. I've sang in bands. I play bass in bands. I've been drumming for 15 years. I play every instrument. I've been singing for probably 20 years.
Yeah.
Probably. That was the first thing I ever did. I sang in bands before I ever played instruments.
Huh. That makes
two.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
I sang in a death metal band.
It makes one of us.
With six other people. It was Slipknot.
Yeah.
Wow. I wish I could find those old demos. It's from like 2010. I wish I had those because like that music was like fucking weird.
They've got to be around, right? Somewhere.
I could probably reach out to one of the dudes. But like we had a guitar player that was his bread and butter. Yeah. He was so fucking good at guitar. It was just like I would just. Like, you gotta sing. I'm like, I'm fucking mesmerized.
Yeah.
This dude
I can't even concentrate right now.
Everyone here is like a B plus. He's like an A plus plus.
Yeah.
That dude is carrying the band.
Yeah.
And that's like how it was.
Wow.
His name was Kyle.
Kyle.
He fucking killed it. He's a great guitar player.
Shout out to Kyle.
Shout out to Kyle. I miss that band. I miss being in a band as a teenager.
Yeah.
The feeling, because it's so fun.
It's a world of constant wins.
It's so fun. And when you're in a metal band, you're like, I can just like scream.
Yeah.
Over a blast beat and like we're gonna get shit done.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
That's pretty fucking cool. So it was fun.
You're on top of the mountain constantly.
It was fun.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like I was smoking cigarettes to make my voice like
raspier.
More like And I think it probably worked. And nice. Like it was good for screaming and shit.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be like fucking this is demon.
How low does that go? I meant like give me I know you're going below the scale and you're about to have a nosebleed, but like where
that was like as low as I would go. Yeah.
What would that be as far as a note?
Like a low C.
Low C?
Maybe. Wow. I could do like those guttural screams really well. And I could also do like the fucking like the fucking like really fucking like
yeah.
Know, like you're choking you're choking your dick. I'm saying homework. I probably have like old music on some shit, but I don't know. Yeah, like literally since I was I started playing guitar when I was 13, and then
was it acoustic then electric or straight electric?
Electric first.
Yeah,
and it was like a metal guitar. It was a guitar made to play metal on.
Yeah,
and then I got an acoustic like maybe the next year, but I was like 13 probably.
Yeah.
But then before that, it was like choir and stuff growing up as a kid. And
And
all that shit. So, like, nice. I was just like into that stuff.
Yeah.
For whatever reason. I don't know. Yeah.
Something to do for sure. That's where it starts.
Yeah. And it's kind of like in line with like the emotional thing because like the music we were making was emotional. And, you know.
Of course. I mean, you're 13, 14, right?
Yeah. 14, 13, 14, 15. And like the subject matter was, you know, it was like.
Was it relatable to being a teenager or?
Yeah, but it was also like darker shit. Like this one lyric I always think of. It's like if you ever heard the band, you ever heard the band Under Oath.
Yeah, but I don't want you to give me a comparison. I want you to just tell me the lyric.
Yeah, the lyric was just like it screamed and it was like I feel like I've been wronged. I feel wrong. And that's like how one of the songs was like starting. Yeah. And it was like a breakdown. Like
nice.
Dun dun dun. You know, like really heavy shit. And it was just like, you know, but we were like kids.
Yeah, of course. You know what's funny? Like even these young, I mean, any young artist will sing about things they don't actually understand or don't truly understand, rather.
Yeah, you don't have the life experience to match up with like what you're actually making as content.
But it works.
It does. And it's weird because like some of the some of my favorite music, some of the best music that you've ever heard from a band you like or whatever, like mm-hmm. that. It's like that they were 19 when they put that out.
Yeah, exactly.
And that's you don't their even best think work. About that. That kind of shit. Yeah. Age isn't really relative to like what people are saying in music. Sometimes it's pretty strange.
I instantly think of that Bob Marley song. Judge like, Not at 16. I'm pretty sure he wrote it when he was 13.
Yeah, so he's like a little kid.
He's a kid
making music. And it's like pretty fucking terrible.
Yeah.
No offense to Bob.
It was rough. It was really rough. But the lyrics were great.
Yeah, the lyrics were great. Like deep and like, you're like, oh, okay. Like this dude's.
But simple.
Yeah.
It's called Judge Not if anybody wants to listen to it.
Yeah.
It's a great song. It's short. It's like 2 minutes long. It's gritty. It sounds like a shitty record. But it's a great song. The lyrics are awesome. They're simple, but they have a depth to them, which is great. And I'm guessing he didn't truly understand the references.
Yeah, totally.
Or the depth of it.
Yeah.
Right.
Like even like when we were making music in 2009, mm-hmm. a lot of the subject matter was coming from like other outside sources. Like we would listen to music.
Yeah.
And like a lot of gimmicky stuff with like metalcore, that kind of music where, you know, it's like certain patterns for a breakdown or, you know, certain like vocal emphasis on something, like maybe the word bitch.
Yeah.
Like you'd be like dun dun dun. Dun-dun, bitch, you know, and it was like, whatever kind of thing. Like, there was a lot of that shit and, like, playing to, like, the...
Do you find, like, in a metal band, is there a lot of Band-Aids that you can throw in there to kind of cover up the lack of talent
or
the overage
fucking
of talent?
Totally. Yeah. So much. That's why I started playing metal before anything. Yeah. Because it was the easiest music to make.
Yeah.
Inherently, I think.
Yeah.
All the songs I learned when I was a kid on guitar were in drop C, which for a 13-year-old is weird because you like usually they don't experiment with tuning when you're first playing a guitar.
Yeah.
And it was all System of a Down songs.
Of course.
I learned like all of Toxicity.
Which is a great fucking band to start trying to learn how to
like
play.
Like the riff from Chop Suey, like great. All that, like Hypnotize. Yeah. I can still play all these songs.
It's a great song, by the way.
They're just burned in my head, but they're very simplistic in nature.
You know what's funny? I had a, hold your thought because I'm genuinely interested, but I have a Spotify playlist on System of a Down.
Yeah.
Hypnotize is not on it.
No.
What the fuck?
Oh, it's like someone made one?
Yeah.
And didn't, yeah.
Didn't put it. No, it's YouTube music.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, if it's a self-curated thing, people are sleeping on. That's the thing with good songs. Like a band like System of a Down has great songs that you're not going to hear because they were never promoted enough.
They're not radio played or whatever.
Some of my favorite songs by bands ever are B-sides.
Yeah.
Like, 99% of the time, the B-side is almost always fucking better than the album songs, which is crazy. And I think maybe there's some bias in that because the term B-side is exciting to me. Mm-hmm. Like, it's like, oh, B-side. Like, oh, this is some leftover shit that no one's fucking heard at all.
Yeah.
And then you hear it and you're like, this is better than the other. This is better than the radio one. What the fuck? And that happens so consistently.
I think the most prominent version of that or example of that is the Beatles.
Yeah.
So John Lennon would write songs. And I know Joe's going to kick my ass if I get this wrong, by the way. I'm sure it's, I think it's John Lennon started writing songs because Paul McCartney would write most of them.
Yeah.
And, I might be fucking this up. Okay. Anyway, so there were songs written, Hey Jude.
Yeah.
Like top radio played songs that were never featured on the album on the A side. They were all B sides. Some of them weren't even on the fucking albums.
Yeah.
But they're such great songs.
Yeah.
Now, does that... I don't know exactly how that would work. But is it worth the radio play? Are they making the money off of that and it's not even worth putting on the album? Or is it a throwaway song and it just tends to be a hit? Like, what is the process on that?
Right.
Like, who the fuck knows what their mindset was? But
it's got to be like a spectrum of those things.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, with older bands like that, too, like, there was probably a degree of yes men and stuff too, right?
There always is.
In every genre and every aspect of music, there's always people that are like, this is the one or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they had experiences like that where they were writing stuff and people were like, this is the one. And then they're like, oh, it's not the one.
Yeah.
And the one they go with was better or whatever. And for whatever reason, this is like a consistent thing with bands and artists. And even my own bands have had that too. And it's a weird thing when you are a fan of B-sides to then have your own B-sides.
Yeah.
Because you're like, what led to this? Yeah. And then also too, to look at your own B-sides and be like, I actually like this more than like a lot of the shit we put out.
Yeah.
Which it's like this full circle thing. I'm not sure what that is that leads people to feel that way. I don't think I'm the only person that feels this way.
No, I think it's just the inherent nature of people's ears in a way. You know what I mean? Like I don't think I have a genre of music that I favor more than another.
Yeah.
I could tell you which one I don't like. Country, I don't like country. I don't like country. I'll listen to it if it's on the radio. Yeah. I'm not turning off the station. I'm not going, fuck country. Blah, blah, blah. I'm not doing that. I don't care that much about it. Like, it's not ruining my day to listen to country music. Right? Is it on a playlist that I've ever made? Any CD I've ever burnt? Any mixtape I've ever made? Not a chance. Right. Not a chance. Not on there.
That's a good thing.
Look, you want to listen to country music? Fine. But it is some dude crying about his fucking pickup truck and his dog.
And whiskey.
And Bud Light. And it's this girl repetitive. Wearing... Yeah. The same fucking outfit for 12 albums. Like, I get it, buddy. I get it. It's over for you. I'm done. I'm done listening to that crap. I can't.
Yeah.
There's newer stuff that is different in
a
sense.
Yeah, it's very different. Yeah.
But it is repetitive in its nature.
Mm.
Whereas you get metal like Metallica, right? Or Under Oath or whoever. Yeah. And then you get somebody like, System of a Down.
Yeah.
Which is vastly different than all of them.
Yeah, in that group, but also just like their own lane.
Yeah.
Like,
you got a screamer. No one else is in. You got an opera trained singer. Yeah. Like, guitarists that are way above the credit they're getting.
Yeah. And then, like, an undertone of Armenian sounding key all the time, which is actually fucking awesome in metal music.
Yeah. And the so most cool. off, like, off rhythmatic, like
just
the style they run their music and the lyrics. It's just so offbeat,
Just different,
it throws you off, right? But it's great,
If you're looking for something that you're never gonna be like, oh, the same hook, here we, great example,
no,
and they'll have songs that are like that, but still with their own flavor,
yeah.
That's why they're one of these, like,
they change the flow of their song, like. I think Chop Suey did it like 14 times.
Probably something like that.
Where it was just back and forth and cut through here.
The bridge is slow.
Yeah.
Like sad, weird,
and then it just hits you.
Yeah.
You're like, Jesus Christ. And that isn't consistent with each mark. It's not. It changes. And you're going, shit, I didn't expect that.
Yeah. This is the part that's heavy, and then it goes into a different like bridge, and you're like,
it's just a nice melodic.
Yeah.
It's insane. It's insane. I find you find that more with like hip hop music.
Yes.
Proper rap music, not this garbage we listen to now. I'm saying it. I don't give a shit. I know you don't agree. He doesn't agree. You don't agree.
Okay.
It's fucking garbage.
Okay.
Okay. This mumble rap garbage.
Okay.
Okay. I just can't stand it. It makes no sense. No, the only thing they do have is that changing of the.
Yeah.
The flow, which is fine. Yeah. Great. But I'd like to understand one fucking word.
Fair.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
I don't need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And stop stealing Birdman's bird call.
It's true.
You know?
Quit calling the birds, man.
Yeah.
Get that bird hair.
I digress.
Yeah. No, that's fair. You're allowed to feel that way about music. I think that there's some great rappers right now. But it's much like metal where it's varied, like how there's a System of a Down in the metal world. There's an equivalent in the rap world.
What would you say it is?
It depends on what you want.
I don't want anything. I will be impartial to this.
Yeah.
I'm genuinely, I hate mumble rap.
That's
but
fair.
There's got to be like a Kendrick Lamar or.
Sure.
Like those guys are up there.
I like Kendrick Lamar personally, I think, but I like his I like his older music.
Yeah.
I don't really listen to the stuff that came out
now. But does he classify as a mumble rapper?
No.
No.
He's very lyrical.
I assumed all mumble rappers had a lil other than Wayne. You know what I mean?
Yeah, if we're looking at rappers like...
You're talking about SoundCloud rappers.
Yeah, SoundCloud.
Isn't that the spawn of mumble rap?
Yeah,
am I right or am I wrong on this?
Yeah, kind of.
It's called Gingerly Ignorant for a reason. Somebody clear this up.
I mean, yes and no.
Yeah?
Yeah, because there's, like, other types of rappers on SoundCloud and shit. And, I mean, we even initially put our music on
like
SoundCloud.
Like, Lil Yachty, by the way, is trash.
There, yeah, see, I knew you were going to say Lil Yachty.
For sure. Lil Pump can take one in the mouth. For sure. Pump, pump.
So, Google is saying, according to many people,
yeah,
it looks like Tony Montana by Gucci Mane and Chief Keef is the first classified mumble rap song.
Tony Montana.
Okay. By Chief Keef and who?
Gucci Mane.
Gucci Mane. Okay, you know what? I really fuck with Gucci Mane. So.
I fuck with Chief Keef.
Okay. Squad!
Squad! Yeah. Bow, bow, so bow, 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 bow. Interesting. Yeah, okay. See,
this is the, well, that's like.
Is this my own ignorance getting the best of me on that? Because I know that song.
It is.
I don't know if I really enjoy it, to be quite honest with you.
That's fair.
I still stand by the Lil Yachty and the Lil Pump and the what, Lil Zane? Lil Zane? Lil Zane. You got a face tattoo and you're not Post Malone, you can go fuck yourself. How's that? For the most part. And you're under the age of 28.
Okay, I'm good.
Yeah. Okay, I'm good. We'll go 26. Under 26, because, you know, you don't want to join the 27 club.
True.
Or kind of, you know what? Some of them I hope they do.
True.
Just throwing that out there.
I don't know. I don't know if I agree with the anti-face tats.
No, it's nonsense. I don't care about face tats.
That's fair. Oh, you mean, okay. Yeah,
yeah, I don't mind. Yeah, no. I mean.
I'm not for or against.
6'9"? Come on now.
It's a little much. It's a little much.
You shouldn't have one tattoo 1,000 times.
Yeah, that's a good, yeah. It's probably a good rule.
And then the It Clown?
What?
Isn't that on his face?
The what?
Is that on his face? It is, right?
Oh no, it's Jigsaw.
Jigsaw, yeah. That's it. Not that's the Clown. So yeah, stupid. Jigsaw from
that's
Saw.
So dumb.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But also
ridiculous.
He's got the right to do it though if he wants.
Of course, yeah. Fuck but your face up.
Yeah. It's so
winner's protection, I'll love that. The fuck's going on?
Yeah.
You're like, yeah, dude, stop talking about it. Just say it. I'm going on a tangent.
No, that's fine.
I'm just talking shit now.
That's fine.
Music. Jesus Christ.
Music will make you lose your mind. Blah, 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 yeah. Blah, 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 yeah. It's all varied. It's all over the place. There's great rappers. My favorite group that's a rap group is Run the Jewels. I never shut up about them. But they're old heads, dude. They're older dudes. They're my dad's age almost. Yeah. Almost
dude, a little I'm bit still listening to fucking Too Short.
You know? Yeah. Fuck.
Dude.
Chingy.
Chingy.
Chingy. Too Short. I was listening to 50 Cent today and G Unit.
Nice.
Cause wow. That's what I grew up on.
Yeah.
So
it's funny that is now retro rap.
It is in the when you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, this is the subject matter is old.
Yeah.
But
it's not,
but it is. It's weird. Which is kind of in turn with mumble rap and shit like that, where the subject matter, a lot of those dudes are trying to perpetuate that they're just on like drugs.
Yeah.
And that they're just like this bit bad. You know, like to a beat and it's melodic. Yep. System of a Down was a melodic band.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe draw some comparisons there.
And you could understand a lot of it just on a bass hearing of it.
Yeah.
Depending.
Yeah. The thing with people not understanding lyrics and songs, I think, is also kind of getting pushed to the wayside because like melodic trap music or whatever and stuff like that is very much based on the beat being fucking awesome, and then like the lyrics are second.
Behind.
Yeah, they're not like as important, which is strange. But then, you know, there are so many rappers right now that are doing the opposite of that are super, super skilled. Like there are tons of great rappers. You just have to like look for them and stuff. But, you know, it's also a curated thing of taste too, right? Like the stuff I listen to, it's a lot of like New York rap, and it's a lot of people that have been around for a decade or more.
Yeah.
You know, outside of stuff like Drake or whatever. Yeah. I like stuff like that. That's a way different type of rap.
I'll be honest, but I don't listen to Drake.
Totally fine.
Yeah. Not that I wouldn't. I just don't.
Totally fine. Yeah. That's another example where I think that Drake's B-sides are better than anything he's ever put out. And that's very much like when I listen to Drake, like he puts out like B-side albums now because maybe someone told him, hey, these are really good compared to like everything else. You know?
Start putting down the deep cuts. Yeah.
But yeah, he's got it. And it's a lot of music about Toronto and like,
of course,
you know, like being in love and shit and being fucked up. It's
classic
it's
shit.
Relatable. Like if you want to be in your feelings and shit. It's
especially
really,
with Canadians.
For that.
Do you have like a favorite Canadian band?
Favorite Canadian artist would be Drake probably, I think. Favorite Canadian band. Fucking goddamn, I'm going to say it's between Alexis on Fire and Billy Talent, probably.
I knew those were the two.
Yeah, because I really...
If you had said Rush, I would have been like, what?
I was thinking Rush and Harry.
Rush is great. Yeah, Tragically like, Hip. Yeah. Bush.
Bush is Canadian?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Gavin Rosdale, the singer from Bush, is married to Gwen Stefani.
Not anymore.
Was.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Well, the thing back in the
day... Now she's married to a country singer.
The thing back in the day, too, that dude was... He was like openly bi or whatever, so they always
right.
like made a big deal about that. And I always thought that that meant that they were trying to color the fact that like they would eventually get a divorce.
Yeah, yeah.
Which they did.
They did.
So there you go.
Yeah.
But that band was big, and I don't know if they're Canadian though. That's the thing. But
Daniel, is Bush Canadian? Bush the band, Canadian?
They could be.
It says British.
Yeah. See. Yeah. Is yeah. Gavin Rosdale's. Yeah. English.
Is there a Canadian?
The beer.
Maybe. Nope. Probably the Colorado Springs.
Also a really 70s Canadian rock band.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And had a minor Canadian
hit. Nice.
Apparently. Well, that's on my top Canadian Bush Bash tracks.
Yeah.
Actual playlist on my phone.
Nice.
Not even a joke.
Fuck.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
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 I can't even tell you if all the bands are Canadian. Yeah. Alexis on Fire. Great.
Probably. And a cool thing, the high school I went to, my guitar teacher for grade 9 and 10 was the same teacher that taught Dallas Green how to play guitar in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. Or maybe didn't teach him how to play, but, you know.
Taught him in high school.
Showed him some stuff, probably.
Yeah.
Pretty fucking cool. Small world. Small world.
Do you listen to any of Dallas Green's
yeah.
actual work, like City and Color?
I had this... The Sometimes CD in 2006 yeah. when it came out.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bought all that. Me and my dad were really into City and Color when I was like 13.
Me and my dad are into, only, I guess I think I would say more Dallas Green's, his acoustic work is fantastic.
It's great. So actually, I'm working on a cover of a Dallas Green song, Alex on Fire song, Happiness by the Kilowatt.
Yeah.
On piano.
Yeah.
So play it on piano.
Interesting.
And sing and play piano too. So it's different. It's fun. It's really fun to play that song. But I can play a bunch of Dallas Green stuff on guitar. It's all weird tunings.
Yeah.
Very open, weird open tunings with capos, which is a thing that clamps your fret and changes the overall key of your guitar without tuning.
Yep.
So yeah, like when Save Your Scissors came out or like Hello, I'm in Delaware and the water, I'm beautiful. All those different, those really emo acoustic songs. Yep. I learned like all of them and like was obsessed with that shit.
Yeah.
And Alexis on Fire too in general.
Of course.
Just a great band.
Yeah.
But honorable mention, I gotta say too, probably my top three Canadian bands probably be like Alexis on Fire, Death from Above 1979.
I knew you were gonna
They're
say
all Toronto
I fucking
bands,
knew it.
Dude.
I
They're
knew
all
it.
Toronto.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Billy Talent. And Billy Talent I've just gotten back into after like 10 or 12 years of not listening to them.
Didn't
and
they
are dope.
They came out with something a little more recent, right? Within the last few years ago.
In the last 5 years they put out a few albums and just singles and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've kind of gone like a Viking rock metal sound almost, where it's like anthemy, but not in a bad way.
Like in a like hymn type of way?
Maybe.
Yeah.
I would like the songs that they put out, you can picture them all like doing the V stance when they're playing
guitar. Yeah,
and
yeah.
And you're just like,
yeah.
You're like,
which they did like in the 90s and 2000s
yeah, yeah,
too,
yeah.
right? Yeah, and like Sum 41 was big on that too.
Yeah, yeah,
right.
A lot of that. Like, well, even Billy Talent was around since '93, right? They were Pez before they were Billy Talent, and their first album.
Yeah, yeah.
The first I had
was under Pez.
I had it. Yeah, it was weird, like so ska and stuff.
Oh,
very
yeah.
ska.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But like with screaming and stuff and like heavy. It was strange. Strange. They really came into their own. But it's like Canadian music is very polarizing. Like our bands and artists are artists.
Yeah, yeah.
But the bands are very like you hear Death from Above, you're like, that's Death from Above.
Yeah.
Like there's one band that just came out that kind of sounds like them. They're called Royal Blood. I think they're English.
Yeah.
And they sound a lot like them. And
fucking hacks.
I might be wrong on the name, but they're like, it's two dudes too, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And one's drums and one's bass, right? Same shit, same shit. But very similar sound. And like, other than that, that would be one of those bands where you'd hear them and you're like, oh, no other band sounds like that. Like that's them, right?
Yeah,
same with Alexis on Fire.
Yeah, Alexis on Fire is Yeah, you can smell them from a mile away.
Yeah, they're just like, and you know, the great thing about all these bands too is that they're still doing it.
Yeah.
Some of them have like, Alexis on Fire broke up,
came back for years. Yeah.
And put out like 3 songs.
Yeah.
And they're like some of the best songs they've ever done. And you're like, oh. Yeah. So there's something about like taking a break from things.
Yeah.
You really come back to it.
I want
to
say a lot of bands do that, but they don't.
No.
You figure the most popular bands in the world, your AC/DCs, your Guns N' Roses, your Rolling Stones, which have been doing it forever.
Still.
Forever.
Yeah. 50 years of touring.
I don't know how they're even alive. Barely. Nobody does, right?
Steroids.
But not really a break from them. You know, a couple of things here. Obviously, they don't tour all the time, but they still tour.
Yeah.
How crazy is that?
Yeah,
it's insane.
Maybe not this year, but yeah. It's
like clearly not this year. Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty wild. Like, just
that longevity is super rare.
Well, now it's basically impossible. Like, very few artists are breaking through the wall of.
Except for right now, like literally right now, like this year alone. Yeah. Like, I think the top 100, somebody was telling me the top 100 charts are so sporadic. It's so weird.
All over the place.
It's all over the place, millions of genres. Because most people aren't doing music because they're not doing anything.
Yeah. A lot of people like had to stop being in bands.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of the world.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like good bands, like not just shitty bands.
But
like,
it does give people the opportunity. I say people, I mean artists specifically, not just any Tom, Dick, and Harry, but gives them the opportunity to kind of bunker down, like get a nice song out or an album or something.
Right? Yeah. You'd hope they take that time and use it like the same way that they would with the time in between albums and touring.
Right? Exactly. Yeah.
Because that's usually right. There's a turnover.
Yeah.
Something as a musician that I've always been really like adamant about paying attention to is the time frame of releasing music, because like also
in between,
yes, and how sporadic or not, and it's way different now than it was like a decade ago,
yeah,
for sure, and it's different in genres too, but like, you know, even 5 years ago, like putting out an album was a little more realistic. Maybe now, if you're putting out an album in 2020, you have to have a fan base, or people just won't really.
They won't really.
Like you're really doing it.
It's more of a rarity.
You're doing it from your heart if you're doing shit like that. You're not doing it because you know it's gonna hit.
Right.
You're doing it because it's like I need these to be released together. Right.
Yeah.
Whereas like that's, you know, like the way people consume media now is so different. So it's really affected music overall too. All these bands and everything. Where maybe they would release an album and there would be a period of time in between their albums. Mm. Some bands is every year, which is crazy. And sometimes it's great, right?
But if you look at it like a comedians, like ideally they say one every year. Do your special every year.
I don't think you should do that with other things outside
I don't think you can do it with... Yeah. I mean, there's been bands that do a yearly album or a bi-yearly album every 2 years.
You can.
Which is nice for that consistency. It's a constant reminder that you're still around type of deal.
Yeah.
Tours the every other year type of deal.
Yeah.
Like year to work on, blah, 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 blah.
And
right?
it can be too much too. For example,
it's gotta be draining.
Gucci Mane put out 9 albums 1 year.
Is that a thing?
8 or 9.
Seriously?
Yeah. It was a year I was listening to him. I think I was listening to him a lot that year in particular. And I want to say maybe 2015 or 16.
Jesus.
Gucci Man put out like albums under his own thing and then like did music with people. But he put out like multiple albums in a year. Like I remember, like it was the same year this one album came out where I think it's called like Iceberg or something. And the cover is it's an iceberg, but Gucci Man's face is on the iceberg.
That's hilarious.
It's so dope. It's so great. It's actually a really good album. But that same year, he was putting out tons of albums. Like, just...
Jesus Christ, you know, he has got a...
Just he's got a lot of songs, right?
Yeah, these are albums. Yeah. These are a lot of fucking albums.
Yeah. And the time frame of releasing them.
2007, 2009, 2019.
So he has 14 studio albums.
Yeah. 14 studio albums. That's a lot.
6 compilation albums.
Yeah.
1 soundtrack.
Yeah.
7 extended plays. 74 mixtapes and 99 singles.
Yeah. Okay. 74 mixtapes is exactly what the hell I'm looking at right now. This is insanity.
That's insane.
Dude, that there's nothing prior than like 2006.
No. So in what?
2001. Eight,
like less than 20 years, this dude is just nonstop working. Nonstop. Like literally just.
That's crazy.
He must wake up and just be like, I'm going to do like 30 songs today. Yeah. Like, and they're like, okay, here's the beats. And the thing, like, there's a lot of good music in there.
Yeah.
There's probably some filler. For sure. There has to be.
There is.
But there are like a lot of hits in that 8 million songs that he put out.
Yeah.
Right? It's crazy. But that's like the extreme side of it. Whereas the other side is like people put out singles like in a year, you know, maybe a smaller artist puts out like 6 songs, but spreads them out or 2 songs at a time, 2, 4, 6, you know, one in first quarter, second quarter, end of year kind of thing. That's like the approach that we were starting to take too in the band I was in, because it becomes something like that where, you know, you want to make an album, which we did, and then people were like, why are you making an album? And we're like, oh, fuck.
Yeah, but why not?
Because we're old, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, why not?
Why not make one?
Why not? But also, it wasn't like necessarily cohesive to being a single release.
Yeah.
In a way it is. But it's one of those things where that's changed. The landscape of releasing music has drastically changed. It's really interesting just overall. And even just the release schedule as an artist, you have to put so much more effort into that because there's so much content out there.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Now, it begs the question, do you do it on a dead time? Like, obviously, you look at any business, there's lulls in that year. There's always lulls. And sometimes it's repetitive and on almost a schedule. Yeah. But a lot of times it's kind of random. So do you peg it on a lull to kind of boost up that time slot? Or do you hit it when everything's hitting?
Depends, right? Like some artists will hit like the same dates. Some bands will put out an album on the same like period of time.
Yeah.
Years apart.
Every year.
On purpose.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Excuse me.
All sorts of stuff like that. Like, it really, it's a bunch of stuff, right? It comes down to like release schedules. Like it's Fridays is when you're dropping albums.
Yeah.
That's when all the playlists come out. Cause everything is guarded towards like playlists and shit now. So, there's probably a lot of scheduling like that. And, you know, you're trying to hop into the lane of traffic when it goes by.
You're merging.
You're trying to merge into there with your shit.
Yeah.
And, there's a bunch of ways to kind of like, you know, get a little bit closer to your destination and stuff, but you gotta pay for the toll road or whatever, you know, there's a bunch of shit like that with being an artist, especially independent artists.
Yeah.
But it does not discriminate to larger artists. Yeah. All those dudes are paying for their plays. All these like Justin Bieber and shit, like people like that, like they're paying for playlist placements at some point.
Yeah.
And if it's not them directly, it's being done indirectly. Yeah. And that's just a fact.
The studio's doing it.
Of the music industry now.
Yeah.
So, like, that really colors, like, the whole aspect of releasing music, really, right? Because then you're sort of doing everything on, like, this preconceived
notion.
Yeah. Like, this is how we do it here.
Yeah.
What do you mean this is how we do it? It's music. It's free.
Yeah.
It's freeing. It's freedom.
Yeah.
I'm like, nope, you gotta, here's the stipulations, pay me $50 for this promo, blah, 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 blah. It's
exactly.
This whole thing. It's an industry, and there's a lot of fucking slime bags in it, man. There's a lot of dirt people.
But you figure that's always been an issue with young artists, like brand new artists,
the
come uppers, that type of deal,
yeah.
where they're constantly getting shafted on initial signing deals.
Yeah.
You know, they're not getting royalties. Obviously, they don't kick, you know, they don't get the masters of their shit. Yeah, obviously.
That's a big thing.
It's a massive thing.
A lot of people don't own their masters.
Well, I think it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah, she's fighting for hers.
For hers. And who was it?
She's pretty much giving up fighting for them. She's just re-recording
all There was a re-record thing,
madness.
And was it Justin Bieber's agent or business manager or something like that?
Yeah, he has a stake in that company. That's how
interesting.
Okay.
I think he also works with a bunch of people. He's huge. I forget his name now, but he's absolutely massive.
Mm.
I guess it has to do with that.
Yeah, he just bought them.
Yeah.
Decided, which is hilarious. Like, okay, so I don't know much about this process. So the masters of it, what does that do for you as far as a monetary value? The ability to re-release, to edit.
It means you own your creation.
Right.
Yeah. Because, like, the thing with when you're making music, when a lot Scooter of people.
Scooter Brunt, thank you. I knew it was something stupid. Yeah. It's a terrible Scooter. Name. Scooter. God damn.
You're named after a two-wheeled device.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah, which is useless with a rock.
Excellent.
Yeah, or pebble.
Is he electric or analog? Fuck.
Masters.
Yeah, masters are, like, as an independent artist, I own all my shit. I'm never going to change that. I would never sign. Why would you?
Yeah.
All these signed artists that don't own their masters, essentially you're creating something and giving away the rights to your creation.
Yeah.
Like just like
for a payment of some sort.
For some, yeah. For
but
some kind
if
of
you
trade.
Can work that into royalties, you're not paying into promotion. I get the concept of that. That the business side of it, I understand completely.
Yeah.
Right. I don't understand how you can't get both. You know what I mean? Like, obviously, the royalties and all that is in compensation of not having your masters.
Yeah.
But basically. To be able to eventually purchase your own masters should be a thing.
Well, this is why the contracts are so defined, I guess, right? Because these people that are signing them or getting you to sign them are going to... They're approaching it that way for a reason.
Of course.
Right? I mean, like, if we look at the long term of what that can bring...
Yeah.
Like the Beatles masters ended up in Michael Jackson's hands
right.
at one point.
Yeah.
And now they're not. Someone else bought them or multiple people bought them.
Yeah.
The value increased the entire time.
Of course.
If one person has everything that the world would like, hey, can we have a cup of sugar? And you're like, fuck out of here.
I have
like,
all the sugar.
I have all the sugar.
Yeah.
You don't get none.
You want a cup?
Go keto. Fuck you.
You know? Half a billion.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. So it's like that in that sense where, you know, people are just trying to, it's like a control thing. It's like a battling for control. It's, hey,
and it's greed. It's that profitability, right?
Ben, your song is really great.
Thanks.
And we want to give you a cash advance of $100,000.
Yep.
Now you just need to sign this NDA.
Right.
You know? Section 1A, I hereby turn over all rights to all lyrics and composition of said works as of blank till blank or whatever.
Right.
People don't read contracts.
No, they hire people and to read them for them.
And if they do, they're not, you know, the reading comprehension might not be the greatest or the wording of contracts is crazy too, right?
Of course. It's always convoluted.
The whole music industry is like built on scuzzy people and like trying to make money off of someone's artistic integrity.
Now, is this ultimately? I assume this is more entertainment in general.
Yes,
right.
Entertainment in general, right? Like how they
across
say Hollywood and stuff. I'm just speaking on music as something that I've been involved in.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a lot of people that do that. They want to ride the coattails and stuff. That's not saying that the whole infrastructure of what like gets music to people's ears needs to go away or something. There's a lot of people that do all this shit, right? There's a lot of right ways to do things. Right. But for every right way, there's probably two wrong ways.
Yep.
And you're going to have those agents or those fucking, those people at the shows.
Yeah.
And I've worked with these kind of people and had friends that became these kind of people as they got a little bit more of a taste of what they were doing.
Yep.
Oh, I'm doing this, but I got to do blah, blah, blah. And it's like, that doesn't sound great. Okay, yeah, but I get this out of it. Is that worth it? Yeah. Well, because you're still working in a fucking, you know, in a shithole environment and saying you're this person. But, you know, you're there's a lot of like, I mean, part of being a musician, too, is like you're being a character. Right?
Yeah. There's a persona to all of it.
Yeah. It's like it's like a movie or a comic book or whatever. There's like a suspension of disbelief with that kind of stuff where you want to like look at whatever it is and be like, oh, this is like, this is cool. Like Aquaman, you know,
it's
like, ah, fuck, this is so cool. You kind of get that with bands and stuff too. And music. And that's like the thing that they're, it's kind of getting cashed out on, or it was.
Yeah.
Maybe not as much now.
I think it's changing. The entire industry is changing a lot because of all this social media and all that.
Yeah.
It's, you don't need a record label. You don't need to sign.
you don't need the idea of what the record label was.
Yes.
People still do record labels.
Yeah.
But we're not, like, most of these people aren't cutting actual records.
Yeah.
Like vinyl, right?
Of course.
I mean, sometimes, yeah. And that's yeah. that's fucking really cool.
Yeah.
And that's almost like this whole new niche thing on just top of all that.
Getting an actual record cut. Sort
of, kind of yeah. full circle in a way. But yeah, like, some of the most successful musicians and, you know, quote unquote, like, record labels or, like, studios or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, they could just be a group of people that put a bunch of resources together. And they can, like, go pretty far with that. There are a ton of independent bands and artists and stuff that are under all those umbrellas. And they're, like, on the charts.
Yeah.
With no help, with no agents, with no this or that. Like, there's ways to just cheat code through the system.
Of course.
Part of it, though, too, is just being, like, a musician that people would want to hear.
Yeah.
Right? That's kind of the, you're selling yourself. Right?
Yeah.
That's the main goal. It's pretty interesting to, like, when you see all that stuff, you get, like, a lot of disdain for music
right.
people. The yeah, environment yeah. of, like...
Outside of the actual musician.
Yeah, like, yeah. going to a show and the promoters are there and, you know, it's all this stuff and it's...
They need to stuff the house.
There's so much drama and money is always a factor.
It's the factor.
You know, I worked with so many people that had, like, such a, like, a blue culture way of thinking about making music and stuff in the sense of, like, it was like, okay, today we get this done. Da-da-da. I'm going to get 2 songs done today. Motherfucker, I don't work that way. Like, I have a song that's taken 5 years to make.
Yeah.
Fuck me, I guess, right? Like, I hate that shit where people want to just turn over whatever for a quick buck. That's great. And that works.
Yeah.
And it's awesome.
Yeah.
But, like, that's not where music...
On a side note, we're kind of doing that now.
Yeah.
Well, I guess.
Yeah. With podcasting.
Yeah. I mean, that's different. Obviously, there's... I wouldn't say it's a lack of creativity, but it's not as creative as building something from the ground up musically. I think music is a lot harder than doing a podcast.
It's different. It's different, but we're in the same kind of boat as that stuff. With this, like, it's all like comedians and performance art and musicians and podcasting and radio and terrestrial radio, even, right? It's all, like, cut from the same cloth, right? We're just on different parts of the garment, you know. It's like
I like the term terrestrial radio, by the way. It's good.
It is
it's good.
It's like we're all, like, in a similar boat. It's just, you know, some of us are snowboarding, some of us are skiing, some of us are, like, using
sliding
a sled.
Down the hill.
Yeah. Some of us are just butt scooting. Yeah, you know?
Butt scoot.
Yeah, like, it's, but it's all similar.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. The process can be linked, for sure, from, like, the start to finish.
Yeah, and we're using tools for a podcast that you would use to make music.
Of course.
Like, it's all, like, I wore these headphones with every song I've ever made in the last 6 years.
Yeah.
It's weird. Like, there's, like, the overlap of things. Yeah. It's all relative. But, like, that's why you'll see a lot of the, like, musicians and stuff aren't just musicians. Yeah. Actors, blah, 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 blah. Everything creative bleeds over.
I feel like there is a level... To me, there's a level of creativity that music just elevates. I don't find actors nearly as fascinating as, like, comedians or musicians. Because those are... They're pulling the creativity out of thin air.
Kind of, right?
That's what it is. It's straight from you from start to finish, right? Now, there's obviously factors in music and in comedy that pull this way or that way or add help or whatever. I get that. That's understandable. An actor doesn't do that. They find inspiration.
Yeah.
And they play a role, but I don't see actors, you know, creating their own lines like that. Like, it's not a creation from start to finish with them. They're in mind from somebody else.
Yeah, in a way, right?
Right.
Yeah,
I find music has to be held on a higher standard, a little higher standard anyway, as far as the creativity.
In a way, I think there's some parallels, though, because, like,
for sure.
Music, like, if we're talking coming from theory, theory is, like, the same as, like, the basis of acting. Like, it's a pre-established thing that we've, like, I didn't make the skill. You didn't make the skill of, like, notes, right?
Yeah.
It exists. It's much like the concept of acting. Like, we didn't invent it, but it already exists.
Yeah.
So you're kind of channeling whatever it is to do that thing, that energy. But it's interesting that it's just, like, I think that there's, I don't know, there's, like, some correlations between these things that are, like when you're making a song, you like it can be acting.
It
can be acting. Performing is acting.
Yeah.
Being on a stage is acting. Yeah. I think it feels that way. Because you're not the you that you view yourself as. You're like,
you're heightened. The persona.
Yeah, being in a band and like performing and stuff for people makes you think differently of yourself, for sure.
Right.
It feeds your ego like crazy. And if you're doing like if you have substance abuse problems and you're doing that, then fucking buckle up, buddy.
Yeah.
Because it gets fucking wild, man. It gets nuts because you're feeding your ego with like toxic shit, as well as, you know, doing this thing that's very satisfying to your ego. So it's, I think it's similar to acting in the sense that, you know, you're touching on the same kind of thing. So like, I think it's one and the same in a way.
Yeah.
You know,
okay,
but it's open to debate, right? It's all relative.
Yeah.
All the point is that all these different things are kind of like touching on that same energy of creativity, and it's pretty interesting that it works that way. That
I guess it is transferable in a lot of ways. That makes sense.
Yeah, there's a lot of skills that overlap, and like even this kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
it's very similar. That's why you'll see a lot of musicians and stuff podcasting. That's why, for the love of God, if we could get some cool ass musicians on a podcast,
that'd be great.
You know, like the singer of Jimmy Eat World has a podcast. The singer of Thrice has a podcast. Like,
wow.
You know, all these bands that are like, you know, they're popular enough that if you got a podcast, they're making a living.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's interesting stuff. There's a lot of bleed over with this media stuff.
Oh, yeah. And it's a way to be totally independent, right? Which is a massive connecting factor.
Yeah. In this day and age, like, working for yourself is not only, like, kind of one of the only options, but it should be an option that you should consider.
Yeah. It should be a constant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Much like creativity.
I suppose you're right then.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You've converted me, goddammit.
Good.
Fuck.
Good. We know that Canadian music is wild and untamable. And we know that creativity lends favors to other lines of creativity. And with
Hit K.
With that, with that, I'm going to talk in 4/4 timing
Jesus
for you.
Christ.
Yeah, we'll just hit a metronome and just
sail out.
Thank you for listening to the podcast. This shit was so fun to do. Oh, yeah. I'm out here. I'm crying. Oh, I'm crying so much. Yeah.
For fuck's sakes.